At Growth and Development, a recent event co-hosted by the Overseas Development Institute with Business Action for Africa and the Department for International Development, or DFID, in London, the UK Secretary of State for International Development, Douglas Alexander, gave a speech in which he described the role growth has played in tackling poverty and reducing human suffering in nations.
Growth has accounted for as much as 80% of the poverty reduction around the world since 1980, helping as many as 500 million people to lift themselves out of poverty in those decades.
Tony Venables, chief economist at DFID, spoke to ODI after the meeting on the importance of growth in development.
Well, in the long run, we know it's essentially everything. Correlation of human development indicators with per capita income across the whole range of countries, and in the long run, growth is everything. But even in the short run, there's this much quoted 80% figure. I think that's over a 15% time horizon, 80% of poverty reduction being due to growth. What we also know, of course, is that the elasticities of health spending with respect to income, education spending with respect to income, tax revenue with respect to income, all those elasticities are greater than one. So as you raise your income, you're raising these other things even faster. So in terms of the importance of growth, yeah, no question.
This helps to explain why economic growth has been so important to ODI's work in the past. However, the Institute has recently stepped up activities on the theme, developing a number of publications, hosting an events series, and running new online initiatives. Why has ODI chosen this moment to concentrate so much effort on investigating questions around economic growth? Simon Maxwell, ODI Director, explains.
Douglas Alexander and his colleagues at DFID are absolutely right to emphasise the importance of national economic growth in reducing poverty. There are at least three issues, though. The first is that growth doesn't just happen. It requires the right policy environment, the right investments, the right international support through trading regimes and the like. Second, we know that growth can sometimes benefit poor people, but sometimes not. And it's quite possible to have growth driven by high prices in natural resource sectors, for example, which doesn't trickle down to poor people. And third, we're facing a new environmental challenge, which means that we have to find ways of delivering not just growth, but green growth in developing countries. So for us at ODI, this is still very much an open agenda with a lot to do. In the last couple of years, growth in Africa particularly has recovered and is at rates not seen for a generation, 5 or 6% overall for many countries. We need to make sure that is sustained through the current financial and economic crisis and deal with two particular issues which are high on the agenda for this discussion. The first is what donors can do, of course, by supporting investment and by working internationally to deliver the right policy regime. And the second is to find new ways of working with business. This is an exciting agenda, looking not just at the philanthropy that businesses do, but also how they can remodel their whole business, manage their supply chain differently, for example, in order to deliver much greater impacts to the poor. ODI work shows how this can be done.
These last two issues were the focus of the Growth and Development event. On the role of donors, Douglas Alexander used the event to announce a new UK initiative to support growth in developing countries.
We can, and we will, provide the support necessary to drive growth. And that is why I can announce this evening that the Department for International Development will commit at least £37 million over the next 3 years to establish a new international growth centre. This virtual network of world experts on growth, from academics to investors, will provide, we believe, a world-class resource for governments of developing countries. The Growth Centre will not push, as I would suggest, a one-size-fits-all approach to growth, but will instead support governments to address their own particular needs, whether that means stimulating growth for countries emerging from conflict, sustaining periods of rapid economic growth, or ensuring that poor people can participate in and benefit from the economic growth that is achieved.
Tony Venables spoke to us after the event about why he feels this initiative is so important.
I think the starting point now is in Africa that so many countries have got a long way towards getting the basic much, much better than they were. So macroeconomic stability, somewhat better rule of law. And we're seeing that in the improved performance of the last 7 or 8 years. So the issue now is to really get into the detail, the second generation microeconomic reforms, you know, tax policy, agricultural policy, investment climate, the very, very detailed things. And that's where the growth center really comes in. I think we have the sense that the quality of advice countries are getting really could be better. So the growth center should hopefully go some way to plugging that gap.
William Kingsmill, acting head of policy at DFID, was also enthusiastic about the opportunities offered by the growth center.
So we're very, very excited by this. I think one of the things we learn about countries that have grown is that it hasn't happened by accident, that they've gone out to get support, advice, knowledge, experience from people outside their own societies on what they could do. China's been very assertive in going out and just getting the knowledge and the networks it wants. I think South Africa's been very good at sucking in knowledge. India is actually brilliant at this, that if India wants to get better market access, it goes out and it buys other companies. And look at Tata's acquisitions in recent years. What we want to make sure is that all low-income countries get the same sort of access to the strategic knowledge and the strategic skills and the strategic experience in other parts of the world so they can benefit from it as well. So the Growth Centre is envisaged as a network of people and organisations to make that offer to the finance minister in Rwanda or the finance minister or prime minister in Mozambique or Sierra Leone, wherever, so that when they've defined their problem, their agenda, we can support them with what is deemed to be world-class expertise. They need to invent their own solutions, but they can piggyback off other people's experience. So that's our vision for the Growth Centre. And it won't just be, therefore, about what Britain can offer. We can support a network that will bring in expertise from the United States, from Malaysia, from Vietnam, from South Africa to help.
Another strand to Douglas Alexander's speech and to discussions at the event was the role of the private sector. Varda Shine of the Diamond Trading Company presented some of her experiences from Africa at the event and summarised them after the meeting for the ODI.
Okay, so I think basically today was a very good meeting, and where we are, where we're coming from at De Beers, is very much looking at trade rather than aid, looking at how can one work with governments, with proper governance, with proper structures, to actually create employment, to help people move away from poverty through actually creating jobs, creating the benefits. And when we look at the diamond business and what we're currently doing in Namibia and Botswana, it goes way beyond just the cutting and polishing. It actually is a catalyst for diversification of the economy. So when you look at Botswana, we've started with cutting and polishing about 6 to 9 months ago. That, for the moment, created 2,000 jobs. Those 2,000 jobs by themselves support an audience of 10,000 to 15,000 people. But what is nice to see now is beyond that, we're starting to see the banking industry, insurance industry coming into Botswana. We're seeing a lot of movement in construction and properties and the hotel industry and the airline industry and the restaurants in Botswana. So it's very much a catalyst which is going to take things beyond just diamonds. And it is very much about how do you turn that into a real culture, a real way of doing things, which I believe is going to make the difference.
This view is backed up by ODI's research, which has found that the private sector can play an important role in economic growth. To finish this podcast, Karen Ellis, an ODI research fellow, offers some further examples taken from ODI work of the private sector making an important contribution to development. More detail on these examples and any of the issues discussed in this podcast is available on ODI's economic growth theme page at www.odi.org.uk/growth.
Basically, the private sector contributes to growth by creating jobs and wealth. ODI has done a lot of research on various sectors and the way they've contributed to growth. For example, the tourism industry creates lots of jobs and is particularly good for the poor because it creates low-skilled jobs, is relatively labour-intensive, and creates lots of linkages with local businesses. Businesses can also contribute by training and educating their workforce and providing things like health clinics or local infrastructure. We've also looked at the extractive sector to look at how they can improve their chances of winning a bid by explaining how they can contribute to development benefits, for example, by sourcing locally, by helping to build local infrastructure, and by being transparent in relation to their payment of taxes. We think that a better system of reporting on these things can create incentives for businesses to do even more to improve their development impact.
Thank you for listening to this Overseas Development Institute podcast. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit our website at www.odi.org.uk.